very excited with the future and the application of data science in the swine industry. I think we are a little bit behind compared to others, but I would say livestock in general, the situation is similar. So dairy and poultry, but there are really good examples out there. So we don't have to start from scratch. So that's my final thought is we have good examples. We have the tools out there. We just need to invest a little bit more. And for sure, we can be more proactive than reactive over time.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Summer challenges finisher pig performance. Digestrum Finish can help. Learn more at dsm-firmenich.com/finish. Adiseo provides programs and services to help producers achieve their targets in high-quality, safe, and sustainable way. SUNY, we provide value-added biotech solutions.
Hi there. Welcome to another episode of the Swine It podcast. I'm Tara Donovan, your host, and I'm excited to welcome my guest today, Dr. Edison Magalyze. Edison is assistant professor in the Department of Animal Science at Iowa State University. Welcome to the Swine It podcast show, Edison.
Hi, Tara. Thanks for having me. Pleasure for me to be here with you guys today.
Absolutely. So Edison specializes in epidemiology and data science. He has an extensive background in swine production, which brings a great perspective from the field. Edison's been working with veterinarians and producers to take production data, organize it in a useful way to help make science-based decisions. In addition, he's able to help producers use that data to predict future performance outcomes. Edison and I have worked on a couple projects with a production system in the past. And so I'm excited to share with the audience what you've been doing for producers and have firsthand experience with it. So that brings me to the topic of our show, From Raw Farm Data to Real Decisions, How Data Science Supports Modern Swine Production. So first, before we get started, Edison, tell us a little bit more about your background and your career path.
Sure. Yeah. So I'm originally from Brazil, swine veterinarian. That's where I did my vet school back in Brazil, and I worked there for around 4 years as a swine veterinary practitioner. And then in 2019, I decided that I needed to study a little more, and I looked in some universities that would have an opportunity, and I chose Iowa State because of the swine health area, and decided to come to Iowa State. So that was in 2019, after a couple of years of practicing. And did my master's and PhD in swine epidemiology, basically worked with area regional control projects for PERS in my master's, but my PhD was mostly focused on data science applied to epidemiology, to helping producers understand health challenges in their systems. So working with a lot of data, I had to learn all that, let's say, basics of data science, because we as veterinarians don't have that background in vet school. But was really good for myself to learn those tools and skills and apply that along with the veterinarian background. So I finished my vet school, my PhD on that area in 2023, at the end of 2023. 2024, I worked here as a postdoc for a year. And since July 2024, I'm actually here, moved to the animal science department as an assistant professor in innovative swine systems. And basically my appointment today is 50% research, 50% extension. And my goal is to help the industry as a whole, so companies, producers, on how to better utilize their information applying data science. So I'm kind of recently new in this position, but I have now my team working, established and working with me now. So a mix of veterinarian, animal scientists, but also computer engineering, data scientists. So I try to mix those folks together in the same room as a grad students so they can work together and collaborate and try to help producers better utilize their data. And I'm very excited. We just started with this. We call ourselves the Swine Analytic team. So yeah, looking forward to what we're going to do together.
Yeah, great. Thanks for sharing. You have a unique background where you can bring some of your production on-farm experience and really help the data analytic folks, right, and the engineers that you work with and bring it all together. So
that's what I wanted to have when I was doing PhD. You know, I wanted to say, I need someone that knows coding next to me because I was struggling so much. And now they are kind of sitting together in the same office. So I'm really happy for that.
BinCentury is the global leader in animal feed supply chain management, monitoring tens of thousands of feed bins daily. Our technology helps pork and poultry producers, as well as commercial scale feed mills, enter a new era of increased efficiency, lower costs, higher profitability, and improved employee safety. We transform how our customers run their operations by replacing feed inventory, guesstimates, and ineffective manual processes with rugged 3D sensors and software powered by artificial intelligence. The BinCentury operating advantage is clear, and it's why we're trusted by some of agriculture's biggest names. Learn more by visiting www.binsentry.com today.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. So let's get started talking about swine production data. So in production, we often use averages to evaluate performance. And Edison, in the past, you know, you've told me that sometimes using the average can be misleading when you make production decisions based on that. So how does the data integration that you work with fix this problem?
Yeah, that's a good question, Tara. Basically, when we are working with field data, so not related to research or your reports from, I don't know, sow farm KPI reports could be on a daily or weekly or sow level, the closeouts, the diagnostic information, all those data streams, they were structured in a way that they are going to be, let's say, analyzed standalone, you know, separately. So they were not made to be integrated with other data sets. And when you try to analyze or make a decision based on an average that you are seeing that on that spreadsheet, for example, I have this spreadsheet Excel file where I have vaccine A and B that I use and I record it, and the mortality is this. There's so many things in the background that we don't have the information, that if you want to make a decision based on that spreadsheet that you have in front of you, you may be making the wrong decision. So that's why the integration component, I'm not saying that we need to collect more data. Of course, we can do that, but to get started, we don't need to collect new data or more data, but it's making sense of what we have available today. So If you work in a company or as a veterinarian, you think about putting those pieces together, right? The sow farm connected to the nursery, to the finisher, to the packing plant, and the movements across the production phase, you bring the diagnostics when they are happening and putting the pieces together, nutritional information of diets. Then we can start, not saying that it's going to be a perfect, let's say, causal relationship that we're going to understand, but it's going to be much, much better than analyzing raw means and raw data average. That's unfortunately the wrong procedure, let's say, in the industry. And to do that, once you have the data, the analysis itself, you can go as complex as using machine learning to help you understand those complex factors. But you can do simple regression models, so you shouldn't need a very complex data set to help you get started, let's say like that. But integration is the key part here and avoiding those averages separately.
Yeah, absolutely. Edison and his team were the first group that was able to help me connect production data like closeouts and average daily gain, feed conversion to diagnostic data and integrate those two data sets. So that's kind of an example for the folks out there. So you already spoke a little bit about it, Edison, but let's go into some detail on that data analytics. So describe the difference between like simple analytics and then modeling of the data and machine learning, and then how you decide which one to use for your analysis.
Yeah, I think for each question that you have, once you have the data in front of you, you use one specific tool. And the good news is that the same way that we have the data that we need to get started, just need to integrate, we also have the tools needed, let's say, off-the-shelf models for each question. So let's say you integrate all that data, like you mentioned the example, now I have my closeouts and all the diagnostics and all the nutritional information. what are, let's do just initially just a screening of that whole data set of all those factors that might be impacting, for example, mortality or feed conversion. Let's just do a screening and identify what's impacting feed conversion or mortality, let's say in the closeout level. So linear mixed model, that will be, let's say, a multiple regression model approach, which is like a statistical approach that it's been there for many, many decades. And it's, let's say, relatively simple to be used. That will be the first place where you start. Of course, you can start with some descriptive statistics, but identifying what are the major drivers of performance, the risk factors that are associated with mortality or feed conversion, you can apply that approach. Before that step, there's some use of machine learning today. We call unsupervised machine learning models. So unsupervised because you don't want to predict something. You don't have like a specific outcome that you want to predict. You're just trying to understand trends. And the machine learning will do that based on correlations. And he will identify, let's say, factors that are related to each other. For example, he would identify the sow farm related variables on production that are related to a lower performance in the nursery, the health related factors. So you use machine learning to kind of identify that for you. And let's say that you are moving forward and you identify it out of your all potential factors. You identify, let's say, 10, 15 major ones. And let's say that one is PERS or E. coli. And now I want to measure specific the impact of that factor on my performance. Then we would use a different approach, which is pretty common in the human side for human science, which is called causal inference analysis. So it's a model that would, it's similar to the multiple regression approach, but you in the background, you will draw what are the, let's say, the directions of factors until you have the outcome. So for example, preweaning mortality doesn't cause nursery mortality directly, right? But there's an association of preweaning mortality with higher nursery mortality downstream. So how that is explained? So probably if you have PERS, PERS is increasing preweaning mortality, then it's then directed to nursery mortality. So that's kind of how you put in the model. And then we will run a model in the background with that, let's say, expertise that we put together and make a better, let's say, measurement of the impact of one disease or a vaccine. And the other tools that we can use are the other side of machine learning that I mentioned. So that's called the supervised machine learning model. So it's a machine learning, but you are now actually trying to predict something. And that's what we use, what's being used today, for example, with weather forecasts. So what's going to be the weather tomorrow? Is it going to snow or not? In tomorrow, 2 days, 7 days, or 2 weeks? It's collecting data, historical data, retrospective data, and using that to predict the future. And we can use that machine learning model, supervised machine learning models to do that. For example, at weaning, predicting downstream performance. So depending on what you want to do, I want to predict future performance, or I want to understand just a screening of my data. I want to measure one specific factor. You have a model for each situation.
Yeah, that was really helpful. So it really sounds like you start with what do you want to know? What's the question that you have? And you and your team can help decide which of these analytic styles or tools can be used to answer that question.
Yeah, I mean, everything that we've done so far, we just, let's say, of course, we help the producers, but the question comes from them, right? They say, okay, now that I have this data and I'm starting to understand that, okay, this is associated with a higher mortality, I want to go deep and understand a little more. So basically, in alignment with them, you will have a tool for each specific question, or now I want to go back and do prediction. So that's kind of how it's been working.
So Edison, share some examples of how you've used data science to improve health and productivity or mortality outcomes in systems that you've been working with.
Sure, yeah. Like I said, depending on on each company, they will have a priority, right? So one company may want to focus on nursery mortality, the other one on carcass, full value pig, the other one on finisher mortality. But some of the analysis that we did were identifying like how important sow farm was in one company, how important the sow farm was on downstream performance. So we measure building a model that pretty much 68% of the mortality downstream was being explained by sow farm factors. And moving from that question, they wanted to understand a little bit more those factors within that multivariable model. And one example that helped them to make a decision or to make a change in behavior, they were analyzing the mycoplasma flows, positive, not positive, stable versus naive flows, negative flows. Should we pursue having more naive or negative mycoplasma flows than stable flows, endemic? And on making those questions, they have their data, right? But they ask us, okay, can we do an analysis of the impact of mycoplasma in our system, accounting for those factors? So we apply this causal inference model for them, and we identify a 1.8 increase on downstream winter finish mortality, nursery mortality, from endemic flows compared to the negative flows, while accounting for PERS and the other factors. So not saying that, okay, that might be leading, that might be impacted by, or by might be driven by PERS. No, that PERS was already in the model. So, and then that helped them to make a decision, okay, so we should pursue mycoplasma negative flows, and that happened in the company. So since then, they were pretty much in 50-50 stable and endemic versus negative, and now they have more than 80% negative. Not saying that that decision was made just because of that, but of course, it's a way to use your data and once you are deciding those type of things. Another example, the company wanted to invest in truck wash or let's say market hall sanitation. So they were not washing every load, let's say like that, and they want to move to washing every trailer. So on that, they wanted to have an analysis on the impact of PD. Is it worth it or not? So knowing that it was a 2.6 increase that came from our analysis from those breaks, enteric coronavirus breaks in the post-winning phase, that was worth it. By their decision was that, okay, this is worth it to implement washing every single trailer because of the impact that we are seeing with PD. So those are some of the things. It's not directly, let's say, reducing something, but it's basically building information to the decision maker so they can make, of course, the decisions now using their data and, of course, everything else that they have.
Yeah, exactly. And being able to use big sources of data to sort out, like you mentioned, when PERS affects a group and mycoplasma, you're able to have enough data and groups that didn't get affected with PERS that you can sort out really what is the mycoplasma piece of that health challenge.
And one interesting part of it is also putting the numbers, right? Okay, what's the impact on mortality, but how much that is costing? So we did also an analysis that was on E. coli breaks. So what's the impact of E. coli in my system or not? And on that, we saw an increase of E. coli breaks, increasing the nursery mortality overall at the end. But we were able, using that causal model, but also using a full budget model that Lee Scholes and Russ Yukin developed, we kind of copy and paste their calculations into the model and basically calculate what was the impact for the, let's say, for each pig, for each closeout in this analysis. And we saw a $1.88, let's say, of opportunity or higher cost in the E. coli break versus the non-E. coli breaks per head. So that's the fun part of it. It's also what's the delta in mortality, but also putting an economic model in the background and actually measuring the economic impact of that disease or vaccine.
Which definitely helps to make the decision of how much money can I spend to change this on my farm, right?
And you always have to make or remember that the quality of the analysis depends on the quality of the data And that's why most of the analysis that we did so far were related to PERS, because that's where you have more data, right? If you want to measure, for example, Salmonella impact, how good is your diagnostics on Salmonella? How frequently you collect that data? So that's why PERS, let's say, it's the gold standard because of all the data and protocols that we have to understand prevalence, incidence, and that type of thing. If we apply that to other pathogens, we can also use that to analyze in the future the impact of those diseases.
So Edison, what are the biggest barriers you see using this farm data effectively, and how can we overcome those barriers in the industry?
I see in two different ways. First is the way that the data is today. So all data streams that are being used by the swine industry, like I mentioned in the beginning, they are not ready to connect to each other, to different data streams. Even the same type of data sometimes, so let's say production reports, they are in different levels and they are not easy to connect. So require some coding. If the company wants to do that, requires some coding and therefore investment in personnel to do that. And when we talk about personnel or people that are able to do this type of work, that's where we are lacking also these, let's say, swine data scientists. So what you could do, you can hire a programmer or someone with a data science expertise, but most of the times that person wouldn't have the swine background. So you have to train. So, and I think that's a professional that will be highly, let's say, valuable in the future. Already today, if you have that expertise, companies are seeing that with a, let's say, in a good way, but that will be a big opportunity for future students that want to be, let's say, that swine veterinarian with a data science expertise. That will be a major, let's say, bonus for the company. So those are the two things. One is the data, not ready to connect to each other, so require some programming and knowledge to build that integration, that those algorithms, and the person to do that. We don't have a lot of people with that expertise. Hopefully that's going to increase more and more.
Yeah, and that kind of leads into my next question. So where do you see the data-driven decision support in swine production heading over the next 5 to 10 years, right? You just mentioned, you know, we need some swine professionals that have that data expertise, data analytics expertise. And, you know, what do you see the industry doing, and what could we do more to get those people trained?
Yeah, I think we are having more and more examples of companies and people out there that are starting to go to that route, to that path, you know. And the more we have those examples, more people, let's say the early adopters, right, that will stimulate other folks in the industry to, okay, let's invest on these as well. So today you may have that in large production systems, but the medium size and small producers are going to start to see also the value of those. So I see the next 5 to 10 years, more people being trained and also more people being hired as let's say, swine data scientists to work in these companies. Don't need to be 100% on that, but if you are a veterinarian, a nutritionist or animal scientist working that company, but you are also able to deal with large databases, don't need to be an expert in machine learning and AI, but if you are able to, okay, what I'm thinking here, I cannot have a gestation length of a 50 days, so I can build a code that will clean my data. That professional will be a big, let's say, we will start to have more of those folks. And also, I think the companies are going to be focusing more on this integration component of data streams and starting to be more proactive than reactive. So I think we use retrospective data a lot to make decisions. What's happening, what happened in the past? How do we see the performance in these flows that use this diet or this vaccine? But can we now be more proactive and also follow up active groups, for example, and make the decision now using real-time data connection? So investments on databases, real-time communication, of course, internet access to the farms. If you don't have that, it's hard to have real-time data. And building what we call this swine data ecosystem. So that's where I think each company will start to be focusing on that, on developing these ecosystems, their own ecosystems with their own programs and softwares that they use, but they will be built that infrastructure to have these real-time or near real-time data alerts, for example.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where it can really impact the pigs, you know, currently in the farm right now, right? A big impact on their health and well-being is to have that real-time data connection as well.
Yeah. And if you think about, there's some really good examples already. I was in Midwest a couple of weeks, ASV as well. And you see like real-time monitoring of feed consumption, water, or mortality. So all these data can trigger an action. And that's I think, the most important thing. It's not going to solve mortality, for example, but if I'm a director of health in one company or a swine production manager, and I every Monday receive an email with all the alerts from previous week, and you could go there and actually throw some ropes and test for PRRS in the growing sites, that would be, a very good way to optimize resources using data. You know, so instead of monitoring all growing pigs that I have now placed, I could monitor those groups that are having some sort of alert. They're not eating a lot or drinking a lot of water, that type of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So in this episode, we've been learning from Dr. Edison Magalais, assistant professor at Iowa State University. He's taught us how he and his team have been working with producers and veterinarians to use production data and analytics to help make decisions on the farm that improve health and production. Edison, share any final thoughts or take homes for our listeners from our conversation today.
Yeah, I again, kind of repeating a little bit, but I'm very excited with the future and the application of data science in the swine industry. I think we are a little bit behind compared to others, but I would say livestock in general, the situation is similar. So dairy and poultry, but there are really good examples out there. So we don't have to start from scratch. So that's my final thought is we have good examples. We have the tools out there. We just need to invest a little bit more. And for sure, we can be more proactive than reactive over time.
It's time for our famous three.
Broiler Savvy, the pioneering AI-powered solution for broiler gut functionality and metabolic efficiency insights. Cargill Animal Nutrition and Health Pork Solutions delivers trusted, data-driven nutrition and business support, helping you build more profitable, confident pork systems. KT Pacer, 50 years designing and building feed transportation equipment focused on quality, workmanship, and performance. BinSentry, the most trusted feed monitoring solution in the world. Cargill Animal Nutrition and Health Pork Solutions is a locally focused global animal nutrition company that offers a proven range of customized nutrition, health, and business solutions you can trust to build more profitable systems with confidence and peace of mind. Our research-backed and data-driven approach is our foundation. Learning your goals and business challenges is the top priority for our people.
We're concluding our podcast. Thank you to our listeners. If you have questions or comments, send those through on your podcast platform. Also, if you liked our show, please give us a thumbs up or a like. Edison, before I let you go, a trademark of our show is to ask our guests a few thought-provoking questions to expand our knowledge and keep us thinking. So Edison, what is a book or resource that's your go-to in your area of expertise?
Even though I'm working with data now, I'm a vet, I'm health biased, so that I'll have to go with disease of swine. And especially I had the opportunity to work with Dr. Zimmerman during my PhD, learned to write my first papers with him. So it was a great experience. It's a really good book.
Yeah, what a great resource to have Dr. Zimmerman there and to use his expertise in swine diagnostics and population diagnostics, right?
And writing. He's a really good writer, and he like having meetings with him and write a paper was, oh my God, I'm really next to this guy now, the disease of swine editor.
Right, right. Well, we could do a whole show on mentors in the swine industry. So yeah, thank you so much, Dr. Z. So do you have a book or resource not related to the swine industry that you recommend we check out?
My go-to will be the 12 Rules for Life. That's one that I seen many years that I don't read that one, but every time that I have a picture in my room where we have all the rules, and so it's a really good book by Jordan Peterson that really helps you in like how to behave, how to be on, like raise your kids or raise your friendships, your work. So it's a really good guy. That's a really smart guy that kind of can see the 3,000, the 10,000, or the 50,000 feet views. He can go as deep or as broad as you want. So it's a really good book.
All right. The 12 Rules for Life. Check it out. So the last one, Edison, is share with us an attribute or characteristic that you feel sets successful professionals apart from others.
I would say, I mean, I've been, my first years after practicing, I was a farm manager, and now I'm working with folks that are master's and PhD students. So I kind of saw a little bit of everything, but I would say overall in any area, curiosity and proactivity, those are two things that will push you forward. And, you know, curiosity without proactivity, it's not very good because you're gonna be asking a lot of stuff and not doing. So if you're really going forward and chasing, let's say the next step, and you're also being proactive on trying to find a solution, I think you're gonna have a successful career.
Thank you so much, Edison, for your time today. It's been a pleasure to have you on, and look forward to next time.
Thank you.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with Elite Remote Talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on more $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.